What's up, y'all? You are now listening to another episode of Blue Cup Convos. I'm your host, Dam Tay, and I got a special guest here today.
Tyler McClure, a.k.a. on Instagram, Gifted Misfit.
We lit. This is my actual twin brother, fraternal, same womb, okay? As he likes to call it, womb mates. Go ahead and tell people what's up.
Well, I am her twin brother, born first. That does mean something right here. I mentor in the community. I run a program in expanded learning, which is also known as after school programming. I do preach as well, but I'm not your typical preacher. We try to make things different around here. Outside of that, I like to say I'm the neighborhood hope dealer. We pushing for change in and out within our communities. So with that, yeah, I'm in.
For sure. On top of that, we have the blue cups here today. I'm drinking this good old Kavita brand sparkling probiotic lemon cayenne kombucha. Good for your hoo-ha, ladies. Go ahead and get you some probiotics in your life. What you drinking?
I'm sipping on that good old Martinelli's gold medal apple juice. You know, shan fresh from the tree.
Okay. Got the apple juice in his blue cup. I got the good old, you feel me, kombucha. So we're going to get into a quick little game before we what are we doing? Before we get into this topic, actually, we're gonna play a quick little game. So we're gonna play most likely two real fast.
Between you ready? And I?
Yeah,
who else? Let's do it.
All right, most likely two. Who is most likely to have always been the heartbreaker?
That's you. Why is not?
Okay.
I mean,
you might be right.
With intention, that's you.
Okay.
Unintentionally, maybe.
There we go.
Hey.
Who is most likely to live in a big city?
Not even me again. Yeah, he's San Francisco at heart, so that's you.
That's me. Oh, who is most likely to watch romantic movies?
Is there a nobody button? Like, oh, no.
You know, you say romantic.
I mean, the Notebook almost made me cry. The ending was trash.
Oh, God.
But the Notebook is a cold piece.
Okay, I keep hearing that. I've never seen it. Who is most likely to be in a choir?
You?
What type of choir, though? Like a hood choir? A choir that does covers for hood songs.
But you've been in an actual choir, so.
I know, but I'm talking about now.
Now? That's still going to be you. I don't like singing.
I would join a choir now. If there was a trap choir, you just go to people's houses and do trap songs. Make it rain. Make it rain. Make it rain. I'm going to make it rain.
I was like, Haley, hello. I wouldn't. Okay. That's not my lane.
Who is most likely to be best at math? That's you.
I'm the money man.
You're good at math anyway. Who is most likely to give all their money to charity? Definitely you. Charity.
Most likely to, not really would.
Like, if it had to be between us, it's definitely not going to be me.
Look, the church only get 2%. You getting 5. Like,
who was most likely to marry a celebrity?
You. I'm most likely to.
You right. Completely.
To be the celebrity. You know what I'm saying?
No. Not at all.
Okay, well.
Who was most likely to have the most piercings? Me. Who was the most likely to do weird things in public? Definitely Tyler. Definitely Tyler, for sure.
No question.
Let's see. Last one. Who is most likely to kill someone accidentally?
Accidentally?
Accidentally, yeah.
As they said on purpose, I was giving that to you.
That's not accidentally.
Nah, I know. That's...
Answer the question.
Dang, I'm not trying to assume that responsibility.
Okay.
It was just a prank.
Next one. Who is most likely to get in a fight?
You.
What?
Yeah.
You gotta be right. I'd be right.
I'm most likely to start one. Like, my mouth is, but I think you most likely to get in one. We were just at the mall. You was gonna fight that girl.
Just for the record, I wasn't about to fight anybody at the mall. There was this lady who was being real disrespectful about the 6-foot rule, and she was disrespectful. I almost had to tap her on her shoulder and ask her who she thought she was talking to my brother crazy.
Shoulder or chin?
Doesn't make a difference. You're the option person, the shoulder, and then we have to work our way up from there. Okay, for sure. We got that out the way. So today we're going to just talk about a few sibling things. And we're going to talk about some serious things, generational curses, and some more things like that. Generational curses, if y'all didn't hear me the first time, go ahead and look it up. A generational curse, according to Google, is or something that involves a negative pattern from your family history that are repeated in your own life. However, God's plan for you is a better future! Exclamation mark. Okay. You can overcome these curses of the past by utilizing the powerful lessons and worksheets in this book. Now, that's something I Googled on Amazon. I mean, it says on Amazon, which is referring to a book, but that's the definition that Google gave me. That's dope. Okay. Before we get started, let me just go ahead and jump into this book from Essence Magazine. It's called Your Faith Walk, Wisdom and Affirmations on the Path to Personal Power. I will tag it on my Instagram. Just want to start with a quick word of encouragement from a black woman. Let's just see what we got going on in here. Some of us have been brainwashed into thinking that some women just like to be hit. Wait a minute. I can testify that I have never heard any sister express the opinion that she liked to be hit, that she saw hitting as a gesture of love. Now, I wanted to read this book and give y'all a word of encouragement, but that's talking about sisters not wanting to be hit. So I guess to encourage y'all, don't get hit. Don't hit nobody. Keep your hands to yourself. Domestic violence is real. You know, if somebody hitting on you, you know what I'm saying? You have to bow-bow. You have to shoot him or something. But domestic violence is never okay on a woman's end or on a man's end. So that was an interesting piece of encouragement / fact that I got out of the Your Faith Walk. Again, a created book from the magazine Essence. The editors of Essence created that book. So let's jump back into it with the generational curses. Let's go ahead and start with that. So what do you think about generational curses? Generational curses, how they've affected you. What are you seeing in your own life that's negatively affecting you from family history?
Generational curses are definitely real. I know that the word curse gives people a bit of hesitation in believing it, but it's definitely real. There's many different areas. I think the one that's impacted me equivalently the most is the one in regards to dealing with women. I would say my father, you know, if I'm being candid and open and transparent, my father has had his record with women. What I've seen as a child was always a different woman in his face. And for me, that was, I guess, not okay. But subconsciously, you pick up on these habits, and understanding his history with women and my grandfather's history with women, it doesn't surprise me that it came down the pipeline. And so recognizing what curses I picked up, that is one of many. Now, how that has impacted me, it's made relationships difficult. Stability, consistency, attention, all of that has been difficult in regards to sharing that with one person because you're not accustomed to it. However, you know, generational curses are our responsibility to change. But that's just one of the ones that has impacted me the most in my child life and adulthood.
Women, dealing with women.
Yeah.
That's one of the curses that you felt generationally has affected you from the man's side.
Oh, yeah. From the man's side. And
Okay, well, for me, I think on the woman side, it would be I've been affected negatively as a generational curse, not being open to being loving, all touchy-feely and stuff.
Affectionate,
you know?
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, back up off me, you know what I'm saying? Unless I really want to be around you, you know? But even dealing with men, you know, that's something that they're like, ugh, because they mamas didn't hug them enough. You know, that's a continuous thing. But I think that's my main one. If anything else, it would have to be the need or the want or like the desire to be super, super independent. Because I know for us being raised, you know, going to get groceries out the car and stuff, my mom was always typically saying, like, you don't need help. Grab all the groceries yourself because anybody always going to be there to help you. That type of stuff is not the best type of not encouragement, but advice that comes that way. And then the last thing would be for me as a whole generational curse on both ends would be more of not being prepared how to do financial stuff. That makes me mad to this day. Like, I know you're not supposed to say, oh, don't blame our parents. They only know so much. But yeah, we got to partially blame y'all because we are all financially affected by that as a generation now. Our generation, the whole generation in itself, not being prepared how to do stocks and learn a little bit about Roth IRAs and different business stuff that we should already been knew about. I'm glad we're learning now, but pushing 30 now, it's something that we're so behind on still, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I
think that a lot of things play a part in regards to generational curses, just as far as what's being taught, what's not being taught, what's acknowledged, what's not acknowledged, what's taking accountability of. And I think it just goes back to that accountability. On one end, what have you caused or what detriment did you bring to the situation? And then on the receiving end is once you recognize that there's something there that you picked up, the accountability to say, you know what, I want to move forward in fixing that. I want to move forward in figuring out how I can get past this. Because I know that when I recognize the things I had issues with that I picked up on, whether it was women or whether it was other things, I said, you know what, there has to be a change. Now, is the change going to happen immediately? No, but my goal is that it would happen before I have my own child so that I can knock out some of these habits and patterns so that my child doesn't have to see these things happening in front of them so that they're not easily picked up on. Now, some things are inherent, right? But a lot of things aren't. A lot of things are just habitual. After recognizing them from being patterns and seeing it and it being a norm to you. So that's just one of my takes on generational curses. There just has to be a lot of accountability taken and willingness to fix that prior to starting and uprooting the next generation so that they don't have to run into or marry into these relationships with the things that we call curses.
So how would you think that, because what it's looking like is our generation, especially on social media, like namely Twitter for the most part, but a lot of people our age are trying to switch it up so that when they have kids, their kids aren't affected how they were, or, you know, the kids are, their future kids, our age group, that they're doing something differently. They're breaking cycles. What do you think about breaking cycles? What does that look like?
Breaking cycles, like I said, it's just part of our recognition. Now, what I do see with the different generations is that, fortunately, I live in a house with three different generations, so I'm able to see it all from a different perspective. I think the older generation, like our grandparents and stuff, a lot of people our age and in our generation, the millennial generation, our grandparents come from that quiet, passive, smart-witted, generation where they don't speak on much that's super deep or that's deeply impacted the family. However, you know, they kind of have like this hardness to them. Whereas the generation under that, our parents' generation, right? I recognize that was the do as I say, not as I do generation. But it's like for us, it's difficult because we need that do as I do or do as I say because I do type of relationship. And so I recognize that. And so with our generation, I notice there's this huge desire for things to change because we won't be silent. And so as the not silent generation, I see that there's this recognition for things to be changed because we recognize what we've missed out on. Such as financial literacy, right? A lot of generations weren't taught that before. And I see a lot of us taking part in things of that nature, or we discuss generational wealth or wanting to build more. There's a lot of more independent businesses, small businesses, so we can pass things on to our kids and put things in their name. So I think it's just really having that recognition and finding a solution prior to moving forward. Like I said, with those generation curses, taking accountability so that the following generation doesn't have to run into that.
So, I mean, as far as like living with three different generations, I know it can be really trying to say the least, because dealing with the older group, like the civil rights era group, and the what would mom group be called? Baby boomers or something?
The baby boomers, I believe.
That group, and with another group, just us alone in the technology era, you know, everything fast, microwave generation. You know, we want everything real quickly because we grew up in the era of CDs, tapes, DVDs, all that. VHS is still, you know, that bridge era. It's awfully hard to try to, you know, educate the older people because you don't want to come off as if you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do that sometimes. and it can be very trying.
I think that, you know, it's difficult for every generation. I think that everybody brings something different to a table. I think that when you have three different perspectives and lenses and makeups, that, you know, one generation isn't right, one generation isn't wrong. I think that everybody's intention is what they're comfortable with. Until you have dialogue. I think dialogue is the key to a lot of problem solving and conflict resolution. You have one generation that's accustomed to one thing, one that's accustomed to another, and one that sees, you know, a problem with this, and so they're going to change it. And so I think it's just difficult for every party. Now, does that make every party right? No, I think that every party has a way of needing to come to a table and kind of bring things together. Instead of trying to have everybody be in a melting pot where everybody assimilates, it's just embracing the differences. I could appreciate the structure of our grandparents because it was structured and very communal, right? And then our parents, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that their desire to help want to raise each other's kid, you know what I'm saying, and keep everybody close-knit, and then our generation being vocal. So the same way that each generation has their, like, their flaws, they also have their best things about them. But if our generation could take from the older generation and take that wisdom, we carry out what they started. If their generation, if our parents' generation could listen to what we bring to the table, then we could have some foundation because they got the money. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just being able to feed and benefit off one another. I think a lot of times we do a lot of pointing back and forth with, like, this generation is that, our generation is this. And every generation, I think their generation is the best. You hear a lot of old heads say, well, back in my day. And it's like, yeah, well, we're not there anymore. But at the same time, what you've been through, you might be able to give us some insight on what we're dealing with now and how to better approach it, or give us an alternative to where we can still vocalize but still move with a sense of intelligence. So it's just difficult, and that's why we just need to have dialogues like this so we can figure out how to break these things and acknowledge these things, and just people have to be willing to want to have these conversations.
So what do you do when... What would some of your advice be? Because not for me to take, but just in general, kind of we have eye to eye. We don't see eye to eye on certain things, but what would your advice be to somebody who needs to get the conversation started with another generation? Kind of that gap needs to be filled.
I think it's just meeting people where they're at and not where we want people to be at. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we come to a conversation with this idea in mind that somebody is supposed to understand this, somebody's supposed to get this when I give it to you and not on their own terms. So I think just trying to meet somebody where they're at and letting them know where you are, and just being, I think if everybody has a compassionate and a mind for each other, then it makes it a lot easier than, okay, I'm bringing this to the table, you need to get this right now. And then I'm listening to you, but don't offend me.
Expectations are high because you just said something.
Yeah, I just think that everybody comes with somebody wanting them to meet what they want them to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that if we...
That's what it is. People aren't coming in that way. They want you to be understanding right off the rip.
Yeah, and we do it too. It's just having an open mind. I don't think people communicate with open minds. We have this idea that when I bring this to you, you're supposed to get it right now. And if you don't get it right now, then you're not listening to me. But at the same time, we come close-minded. Like, if you say anything that offends me, I don't want to hear it. Where it's like, well, sometimes the truth might offend you because, you know, you might be doing something that's offending me. That's just what it is.
There's something, one of my friends tweeted something about how the older generation, before, you know, our grandparents' age, they kind of taught us to be quiet and, like, low-key hate ourselves. I don't know if that's a reach or not, but what do you think? Just by not having discussions, not passing back the baton, and just
the hate ourselves part might be a bit of a reach, but as far as being quiet, yes, I think that when grown folks talking, don't say anything, or you stay in there, I stay in here, or if you ask something that's mine, this is not a kid's place. When we're all humans, kids are just little humans, and so I think that we're taught a lot to be quiet, but once again, looking in that structure of confinement in their era, that was a norm because they dealt with things differently in secret. Like, you think about the slaves, like, they would meet privately. You know what I'm saying?
But why does it seem that the older generation doesn't want to learn? Like, you can only do so much. You know, our generation is, like, really vocal. We try to break generational curses. We're trying so hard, you know, like you said. But again, I don't think a lot of us are coming in, so we need to understand where we're coming from right off the rip. They need to understand where I'm coming from now, but I think more of, also we get a lot of pushback and unintentional pushback from the older generation because they don't know they're doing it because they were raised and they're stuck in their ways. Not to shade them, you know, but that's the reality of it too. Like, you know, you can start the conversations and you can meet them where they are, but we can only do so much. You can't force somebody to see where you are, you know, whether it's like a social injustice or religion or a topic about tattoos, you know, whatever. And a silence alone says a lot. What do you think about people, parents or older generation that don't communicate down to their grandchildren or just don't communicate that well? Because I know some people are blessed to have spaces where they can talk to their parents, you know, or their grandparents. And, you know, for me, I get jealous. Like, you gotta talk to your grandma, you can talk to your mom. Like, wow, like, I'm jealous, you know, if everybody doesn't get that. But I have a friend, when with everything with the police terrorism going on, she was telling me how she spoke to her mother about being a white woman and her dad's a black man. You know, how is that? You know, she's asking them hard questions now. And, you know, they have to answer them because she's curious to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. However, everyone's not blessed with that. So I think it's like a real toss up. But I love to hear people our age get a chance to ask their parents, you know, get a chance to really want to dig deep, because we do deserve to. We aren't entitled, but we do deserve to know when we ask. But we can't expect a lot for certain things because they might be triggering for our grandparents. Yeah, they might be triggering. You know, stuff might trigger them. They have their own triggers going on. So even though we're trying to work on ourselves and do all this healing on that extra, you know, we have to take that in consideration. So, okay, well, the last thing I wanted to ask you about was the concept of generational wealth. Generational wealth, according to Google, is easy. According to Google, again, you simply have to acquire assets or save cash that you don't intend to spend in retirement. Again, this is the term, this is the definition of generational wealth. The concept of building generational wealth is easy, according to Google. You simply have to acquire assets or save cash that you don't intend to spend in retirement. Then you pass those assets along to your children when you pass away. Generational wealth is something that's not often common in the black household. And I know there's a lot of reasons for why not, and we should believe and, you know, we should understand and take into consideration. But we, moving forward as people, generational wealth is a topic. What's your opinion?
I think it's necessary. When I look at other races, I mean, I understand that there's an agenda against our people. So that has to be talked about. That can't be looked over at all.
Yeah.
And so if we can take each other out, if they can take us out through a systematic agenda with our minds, then they don't have to do much more. So I see that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do understand that part, but I look at other races and, you know, I'm not against kicking your child out at 18 years old because they're still a child. I'm against it. Like, I'm against it totally, because when you look at just history, you know, the daughters weren't leaving their houses until they were supposed to get married. You know what I'm saying? And not that I'm saying every woman has to be married, but what I'm saying is that there was time given. There was patience. The guy, there was a certain time when he left the house. Like, you look at Mexicans, like, they stay with each other. White people, they have houses set up for their families, you know what I'm saying? Islanders, they all live together. And so I think that it's, with us, it's like there's this need for, like you said earlier, this need to have to be independent, this idea that if you're not independent, you're looked down upon, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like independent can mean we're independent as a family, helping each other build. And so I think it's just generational wealth is necessary in different avenues, but it's not talked about, and it's really a detriment because grandma's house is always being sold, right? Or we don't have even life insurance. You think about things like that. So after you leave, your kids are left with nothing because nobody's taught how to properly steward their money.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, like, really briefly reference back what you said. Like, I think sometimes a lot of these things aren't discussed within our homes is because some of it is beyond certain generations' comprehension. And yeah. So it's more of an intimidation factor, more it is a desire to be negligent. You know what I'm saying? It's just ignorance is bliss. Some things they just don't know. And so it's difficult to accept certain things if you've only been shown one way, as time has advanced, technologically and just in time itself, there's more opportunity and advances. I could imagine if our grandparents had Twitter back then, right? The stuff that they would have said. And so when we have more resources, I think sometimes we pin a lot of things on them when they didn't have the same opportunities. Now, is that an excuse? No. But I think every generation has their pick of the litter. So like those people that you see, whose grandparents are able to articulate back to them, and they're able to have that dialogue, those are the ones who were able to get through. Whereas
you're basically
some aren't.
Saying being more considerate about how, you know, how they were raised into.
Yeah,
because I know for a fact, like I know for me, I'm the complete opposite. I do agree with what you're saying for sure, but I definitely feel like there needs to be a level of accountability held for our grandparents and our parents for sure about, you know, generational wealth and just even as far as just educating yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be now that we're all pushing 30 that we're like, oh, we need homes now. The California rent is high. You should have been taught us. It's more of, you know, you can still learn about it now. Are you willing to learn about it now? Are you willing to learn about generational wealth? Are you willing to learn about how your eating habits are? Are you willing to learn different things? And I think that we have to take into consideration the fact that you didn't know, but I can show you now. Are you willing to learn? Oh, no? Okay, next. You know, and that's, it's just going to be it is what it is, and have to do better for generations to come that we want to raise, you know?
Yeah,
so
and that's,
I know what I believe is that I feel that even just the wealth part alone is something we're still coming into, but there are different groups of people that are practicing it. Like, there's a lot of Black people in the Nation of Islam. There's a family at the Nubian Family Beauty Supply in Sacramento on Florin Road. They also run three businesses. Venus Cafe, which is in their daughter's name, I believe. There is the Family Beauty Supply that they run together. Mm-hmm. And there is something else that they have. However, the children, and they grew up in the Nation of Islam, the children are homeschooled, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And they're working, right? So they're working in the hair salon. They're working in the beauty salon. Sorry, the hair store. They're working in the hair store. They're working in a cafe. So they're learning all these different techniques, right? They're learning all these different life skills. Also, it's creating generational wealth for them because they're seeing how money is handled, seeing how money is done, how to do business, and that's creating something for them. Whereas, you know, we have rappers like Nas or other people who are putting their music producers in their kids' names, you know, saying that it's their kids,
yeah,
so
sure.
The kids can get paid
does
for
that too, yeah.
You know, stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. And, you know, a lot of Black people, you know, you'll get blessed to get left a house, or you get blessed to get, you know, left something to where, you know, some type of wealth would accrue for you. And I think it's just very important that Black people do encourage themselves, no matter what age you are, to really make sure that the baton is not dropped or disappears to thin air when it comes to financial. Like you said, I'm completely one against kicking your kid out of 18. No other race kicks their children out at 18 but Black people, because we have
yeah.
this stigma in our head that, like, the white folks, we're all supposed to be up. And that's not how the race is. You know, we already start back, and we already starting with shackles and everything else.
Yeah, so we gotta pull each
other.
We have to
realize that that's the first detriment. The first detriment of generational wealth right there is to not kick your children out at 18. You only taught them so much. Taught them how to cook some food, wash a car, probably. We probably didn't tell them how to balance a checkbook, how to deal with college and send your kids off to prove a point to everybody else. But you don't have that experience, and you think it's the same experience because you might have went through it, but it's not the same. Or you might not have taught your child about men or women, and you send your kid out the country or something.
To a big world.
You send your kid to a big world, big
yeah.
campus, or little world, little campus. And it's big to them because they don't have them experiences, because you might have sheltered them for so long. So that's already a detriment, because they're trying to learn so much and make it for lost time.
Yeah,
on
sure.
top of that, adding the financial part to it, you didn't teach me about no Roth IRA. Why don't I have a checking and a savings? I'm 22 years old. Why are there people out here who are Black people who do not have checking and savings accounts, who are 21 years old, 22 years old and younger? This is unfortunate. You know, people aren't being taught how to, you know, use their money because they're comfortable with not knowing, or someone didn't teach them. So someone has to go back and teach them. Or you need to educate yourself. All these free libraries and internet access, you know? However, I think we're pretty blessed as far as we've been having savings and checking accounts as long as I can remember with our bank here in Sacramento. We've been banking and learning how to use our bank for a long time. However, what we didn't learn was how to use a credit card. never learned. So now we're learning now. We're learning everything now and stocks and everything. So in conclusion, whoever's listening to this, please make sure that you are taking a financial literacy class or Googling something, learning about a Roth IRA or a stock or an investment or something. Learn, learn, learn. You cannot use the excuse of not knowing anything in this day and age. You have all the technology in the world. The world is closed. You can learn. You can ask questions. Don't think it's a stupid question because we deadass don't know a lot of things and we're trying to learn. Anything you want to encourage people to do as far as financial wealth, generational curses?
I'll be brief. I think you just hit it. You said in this day and age, you don't have the excuse to say you don't know anything. I just encourage everybody to extend grace to one another in our lack of knowledge area. We're already behind as a race, like you said. And so just being mindful that as people learn about themselves and as you learn about what you don't know, everybody doesn't know. And so we're all in a place of ignorance. So just being mindful that to just meet people where they're at and approach these conversations gently but with intention. Be open and be prepared to talk. But, you know, as a community, walk in love. And that's it.
All right, y'all. Well, you heard it here first. Break those generational curses. If you don't know what that is, I know we talk kind of fast, generational curses. Look up financial literacy. Look up how generational wealth can be accrued and how you can start that today. Even if you don't want a family, just start something to where you're going to be set and not asked out when the world opens back up and in the near future. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is another episode of Blue Cup Convos. If you're still listening, thank you very much. If you're not listening, go ahead and have a great rest of your weekend. We're going to continue with one last episode, one last part of Who's Most Likely To, and then we're going to end it out. Ready?
It's good. Let's get it.
All right. Who is most likely to bungee jump?
Mom. probably me.
Yeah, I'm not with that shit.
Okay. I'm not with it either,
Who is most likely?
Who's most likely?
Oh, I don't like these. I don't like these. Hold on.
Who
is most likely to do drugs? That'd be me.
Most likely to?
That would be me for sure. Who is most likely to be a stand-up comedian? I mean, it could be a tie, because I'm funny.
I've actually went out, though.
Yeah, but so?
So? I mean, it's who's most likely to.
Okay, last one. Ooh. Who was most likely to rule the world?
Me. I'm going to fight you on that one, bro. I'm going to say me.
Really?
To rule the world?
I would rule the world, and people would hate me because I'll make everybody give reparations to black people out of their checks out of white.
Well, I'd rule the world with love, and so I think people would hate me because the world is not loving, so...
Oh, my God. I'd rule the world with love.
I mean, that's just real. Your head out.
Okay, let's do a better last one. Who is most likely to be a world traveler? Me, duh. Supermodel, definitely none of us. And
wait, time out, though. Let's stop there for a second.
Why you say y'all? Chill.
What? I could be a supermodel. You tripping. Chocolate model? Short guy model?
Last one. That's who is most likely to cause world war?
That's a good one. Cause world war?
Yeah. Come on now.
You don't even have an answer.
I think it's me.
Huh?
I think it's me.
It'd have to be you.
All right, cool. All right, y'all. Hopefully you got to get to know us a little bit. If you want to hear.
I think you should have read that last one.
Oh, my God. Tyler's talking. I'm trying to end it out. What's the last one?
Who's most likely to not take a shower for a week?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Love definitely is not me. So, you smoking crack. And on that note, thank y'all for tuning in.